Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. It's my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law you watch me cover on TV every day and into the world of entertainment and fun. And I recently saw opening night performance of a show at the Goodman Theater called Highway Patrol. I didn't know what to expect. It wasn't what I expected, but it blew me away. And as soon as that show was over, I went out into the lobby and went up to the PR folks and said, I need to talk to one of the stars of this show. She joins us here and now. So say hi to Dot Marie Jones. Dot, so good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you, too.
Look, I've loved you for years. It's not just about this show. I mean, people who are, they weren't familiar with your name, you know they're looking now and going, that's Coach Beast from Glee. And indeed you were. But I'd love to just do a little background with you, if I can, for people who don't know. Because, I mean, one of the things I knew about you was before this whole acting thing went on, you're like, and you probably still are, quite the athlete.
I'm a little rusty now at 60, but I that's what got me through college was a track scholarship to Fresno State.
But wrestling right, and arm wrestling, didn't you almost become a professional wrestler? You didn't want to do it. You said it was too fake.
I was going to become a professional wrestler and did all the training and stuff. And then I injured my knees, which stopped me from going overseas for a year, which I would have missed out on so much. But I was a professional arm wrestler I won 15 world titles. And, but mostly it was track and field and weightlifting.
Wow. So if I were to arm wrestle you right now, you'd win anyway, right? Look at me, Dot. You'd win.
I don't know, Wheaties.
I said, no, unfortunately, I'm eating Fruit Loops. So from there, you go from the world of athletes, athletics and all of that, and you get into the world of acting, but it's kind of somebody who saw you, and I guess they saw the combination. I mean, it arguably from sort of doing wrestling or sports on TV, it's not that far from the world of television.
Right. Actually, what happened is a friend of mine who was a bodybuilder, I knew she and her husband from the different bodybuilding events. And I was a power lifter. I would go do exhibition deadlifting events. And Shirley Eason was Sky on American Gladiators. And I knew her way before that. So when she was on the show on Gladiators, she called and told me about, you know, Dot, they're looking for big, strong girls on this one show. Totally audition. And I thought, what the hell? I had nothing to lose. I was working juvenile probation in a lockdown facility in Fresno. And I'm like, that's what I went to college for. I got a BS in criminology. Mm-hmm. But so I went down to LA and auditioned. And out of a few hundred women, I got one of the four spots.
Fantastic. By the way, California, that's where you grew up.
Yes, sir. Northern California. About five of LA.
And so then, of course, Glee comes along, but everybody's the overnight success, right? I interviewed Jeff Hiller last week. If you know Jeff from Somebody Somewhere, I love him. And he sort of says, yes, I'm an overnight success, except it took me 25 years to get here. But for you, the magical connection, because I did wonder, how did you show up? And it's a great story. It's Ryan Murphy. You had worked with them, and you also were a fan of Glee yourself. But give me that story.
I had worked with Ryan on Nip Tuck, and I also done a pilot at the same time they were doing a pilot for Glee. They had done another pilot called Pretty Handsome, and Alexandria Billings, Joseph Fiennes, Carrie Ann Moss, Blythe Danner, Robert Wagner, Niecy Nash. I mean, the cast was incredible. And I did that for them, and then cut to a year later, I ran into Brad Falchuk at a grocery store, and I'm like, what are you doing? I hadn't seen him since we shot Pretty Handsome. And he said, we're just finishing up our first season of Glee. And I said, come on, you guys, write me something. He goes, can you sing? And I said, well, I'm no Mariah Carey, but I can carry it. And he started laughing, and he goes, I'm going to tell Ryan. And I said, please. I said, because I love working with them. And so a few months later, the agent that I was with at the time got a call saying that Ryan's people called and wanted to know what I was doing starting mid-July. And that's, I was on there as a guest star my first 4 years, and then season six, because I came in first episode season two, and then season six, I was a regular.
Yeah, of course, lots of Emmy nominations on the way for all the roles. When you become a regular, I mean, just so people understand, because you're right, it's guest star, regular. I mean, it's obviously about money, but is it more, I mean, what makes that transition from you're now a regular?
I asked for it.
Okay.
I asked Ryan, because he at our 100th episode party, he said, I have big plans for Beast next season. And I'm like, it better be a series regular. And he goes, what? And I said, it better be a series regular. And he goes, is that what you want? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I have three Emmy nominations. I said, of course, that's what I want.
Oh, great.
And he said, then that's what we'll do. And he followed through, because a lot of people say that's what we'll do and you never hear from him again.
Yeah, he came through. Well, Jeff Hiller the same way, right? Hiller, who we put in American Horror Story. It's that interaction you have with him at some point, and then boom, he's back. Ryan is. By the way, I guess we have a mutual friend. I had her call in. Alexandra Billings is a very dear friend of mine. So
I love her.
She is amazing. One of the funniest people on the planet. And I'll tell you a 20-second story. She and Chris Ann were here for dinner one night, and I said, Al, I put out my fine china, right? I said, Alex, you're drinking out of Baccarat, just so you know. Well, shit, that's it. Give me a paper cup. I am not touching this glass. I want a paper cup. And, you know, she's always on stage, and I just love her dearly.
Love her. I actually played a trans man in Pretty Handsome in the process of transitioning in that show, and Alex was my wife. So much, and I just will never ever forget, you know, that experience.
And her work in Transparent was stunning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Alex would love that we spend the whole show talking about her, but
like, her head needs to get any bigger.
Yeah, right. I love it. But anyway, so let's move on up to where we are. And so a Highway Patrol comes up, and look, I'll be honest, I didn't know much about it before. I try not to do a lot of homework before I see a show, because I want the surprises. And here's the thing. Ordinarily, when I do this, I will say to my guest, you know, talk a little bit about what the show's about, or actually I will talk about that. I can't do that here, because even in my review for the show, which was all positive, I don't know what to say, because I feel like whatever you say gives it away. So, Dot, you tell our viewers and our listeners, what is the show Highway Patrol about?
Dana Delaney, who is a dream to work with, and she befriends a young fan online, 13-year-old boy who is having several medical problems and difficulties, and I portray his grandma, Nana, and it's just this.
This is where it gets tough to tell the story.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of things that happen.
Many plot points.
Yeah, a lot of plot points. And it's the story of how, you know, you, when we're online, a lot of us are, you try to take it at face value as to who you're talking to and stuff, and you never really know. And this young kid was going through all these things, and I'm like trying to think of how I can.
I'll just cut it down, only because this is my point. The more you say about the show, you're ruining it for people, not you, but it's just so tough. And even, you know, Chris Jones, I mean, just all the critics are like, I don't know what to say, because people need to experience it. And that was the other thing I said to the Goodman folks on the way out. I went, I want to talk to Dot, but I'm not sure how, because I don't want to give things away. And the smarter move would have been to interview you before I saw the show. But nevertheless, but we can kind of talk around some things, because, you know, the young boy is played by Thomas Murphy Maloney, who's done a lot of shows here. And, but also we get to see, well, we don't get to see, we get to hear Peter Gallagher in this show. And it is the real Peter Gallagher. He was a part of this story. It's a true story.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
So, by the way, was Peter part of this process at all in terms of your interactions, or?
No, Dana had asked him if he would do the voiceover that you hear, and he graciously did it.
So this is Dana's story. And, I don't know. Well, maybe let me ask you this. I mean, is it embellished at all? To your insight, is this what happened? Or we'd say, well, you know, it is a play, so we've had to embellish some things.
99%, if not 100% of what I say was actually written.
Wow. Yeah. Because these were emails and texts. Yeah. And so there is the dialogue kind of wrote itself.
And that's how they kept in touch. And back then you just kept in touch through, you know, DMs or, and it was Twitter. And, you know, it keeps that safe wall up in a, you think it does in a sense of, you know, not giving somebody your phone number. And so it was all strictly these messages and, you know, Dana, I don't even know what to say.
Well, she decided to share the story. I mean, yes. The story, and obviously for our viewers and listeners are like, what are you two talking about? And it's clear that we're walking around it because there is a lot that unfolds. I will tell you at intermission, I don't know if you have gone up to the little special snooty lounge we have upstairs right at the Goodman Theater. You ever go in there? But oh, go in there one day. Maybe not during intermission, but there's a bar or whatever. It's, you know, because whatever, I donate and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I went up there and I'm looking to the bartender and it's like, this is not what Highway Patrol made me think at some point. This is about a highway stop. And I will say, no, I won't even say that. And it's not that the words Highway Patrol have zero connection to it, but it's not about a highway stop. Can you explain all of you, like where the title itself, where does that come from for people that see it? Again, you'll get a connection, but it's not the thing.
If you see it, I mean, you saw it, so you know where the Highway Patrol comes from. Yes. And without giving anything away, it is, God, I can't even say it because it would give it away.
Yeah. Do you find, is this the toughest show? I mean, I know you've done some interviews. Have you ever had a tougher time doing an interview about something you're in than this in terms of not talking about it?
Well, like if a movie's coming out or something, you try not to give away the plot. And the plot on this play starts in the beginning of the play. It's not like it is a buildup. And the buildup is so intense. And so I know for myself, it's exhausting. But it's the most, I've never done anything like this. I'm just saying that.
I will tell you that in my review, I don't, you know, Goodman uses whatever quotes they want to use, but I'm talking to you, so I get to tell you. But while I complimented Dana and stuff, I said that the casting of you in the role of Nan was, it was brilliance. And
I think just,
I mean, because look, as Coach Beast and stuff, you know, you had this, you were scary, but not scary. You were tough, you know, on the kids and all that sort of thing. But, and so here there, I guess I did in my head make just the slightest of connections, you know, personality wise, maybe that's not fair, but it's how I know you. And so let me ask you that. Do you see any connection between Coach Beast and parts of the role you're playing here?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No.
No, there's no sort of the tough part of the character, if you will.
Well, one, Beast was tough for a certain reason, and that Nan is tough for a different reason.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that wasn't the connection for me. It was the toughness.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to say.
Well, I said the casting was brilliant. And so let me ask you, there's more to your character. We're going to call you the grandma here, but let's just say there's more to who you are and what you do in the show. That's what we're not talking about. But I guess I will walk around it and sort of say, when you're done, if after the play, you go out, you meet people, you have lots of fans who come to, and Dana Delaney has a million fans too, but you come out and you meet people. What is the reaction to the role you've just played?
Well, kind of like what you said, it's unexpected because this is the first time this play's ever been done.
Right.
So people, unless you've gone to see it more than once, you don't know what's coming at you. And a lot comes at you. And I thank goodness have had just, you know, positive, you know, people's reaction and stuff from what we're doing up there. And again, I applaud Dana for just the guts and the vulnerability and the heart that she has.
Why do you think she told the story? I mean, if it were me, I'm sure you've had stalkers. I've had stalkers. I mean, it just comes with the territory. I don't know that I'd make a play out of it. I'm sure you've talked to her enough. Like, why did she say, I want this story to be out?
I mean, why does anybody make a play or something? Especially because it's true. I think there's so much fictitious stuff that gets made, to have something that's actually true, it's, and like you said, it's like you question, is all of this really authentic? And it is authentic. And I think she did it because for herself. Do you know what I mean?
She comes out, by the way, we'll say at some point, she has a notebook in her hand.
Yeah.
One could argue it's a prop. And she actually tells us that these are the texts, these are the emails, this is all that stuff. I'm guessing that's the real thing.
Absolutely. And it's probably not even all of them.
Is there, and the other thing is, I mean, the end of the show, it's sort of, it's Dana's moment, and she tells us, I mean, I think she's sort of telling us why she did what she did, and exactly. So, you know, it's a wraparound for her to vent is not the right word, but for her to disclose to us why she's doing what she's doing and what it means. But I'm sort of curious, as you have gone through the experience, take Dana's explanation out of it, why do you think it's important to tell a story like this?
Because I'm sure there are a lot of people that something like this has happened to, and it could happen to anybody. And that type of story is as cautious as you try to believe with people being authentic and genuine, it's you never know. You never know.
So the new artistic director at Goodman is Susan Booth. Yeah. I'm sure you met Robert Falls. He was there for 35 years, whatever, and brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy.
I don't believe I did.
Okay. Well, he's probably still around, but, you know, but right. But he finally just he retired, but so well known. And here and the thing is, part of my review as well was to say, if this is what Susan Booth has in store for us, because it's very different than anything that was on Bob's agenda of what was going on. So as you've talked to Susan Booth, which I know you have, did you get a sense of here's what Goodman is after? Here's what we're trying to do here now. Or was everything focused in pretty much on Highway Patrol itself? Was there a greater vision established for you?
I think the little bit that I talked to Susan is when we were upstairs in the rehearsal hall and she came to watch one of our run throughs. And she was like, you know, I think she was blown away by it. So I don't think it was expected, because you can read it, but until you see it come to life, it's like, it's a big difference.
Beyond the information Dana shared with you, the actual text and the emails and stuff, which I know compile into the script, conform into the script. Mm-hmm. Did you do research for a role like this?
No. I took what I had, and I got to be honest, it took me a few times reading it to get over the animosity I had for one of the characters. Mm-hmm. And to get into it and to make it about, it's a character. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to, you know what I'm saying?
So let me get all Stanislavski with you for a moment, which is to say, I think if I was doing that role, I'm not you, but if I was doing that role, I'd feel like I was always outside of the role, which was why I'm not a full-time actor. I would feel as though I couldn't embody that role and be who that person is. But you do this for a living. You're a professional. So I guess I'm kind of after that point, which is you had to get over animosity. But at the same time, when you're on stage, you are that person.
Absolutely. 100%. And to get that engulfed and to own it and to, it's like sometimes when the play's over, it's like, holy shit, I don't even remember that one part of the show. We did it. It's just, sometimes you get so into something because doing it so many times, and then it's just, it's incredible. It's an incredible feeling.
Yeah. The projections and the technology of it, which was very Dear Evan Hansen for me. We were talking about those. But there are times, I mean, I'm fairly sure I saw like a tweet from you that goes up there. Are there things happening like during the show? Is any of that live, or is all that pre-done into the system, which I assume it is?
Actual tweets that were just
But it's all passed. Because some people thought you might be backstage actually sending something.
No. That screen's incredible.
Okay. And by the way, in working with little Thomas Maloney, who plays the kid, again, watching what we give away here, but how difficult was it for him? I mean, he has to understand what's going on, right? He knows who he is versus the other characters and all that. Is there, like, do you have a psychologist on set or something to say, let's talk about this?
No, that kid's a pro. He's unbelievable. First day of rehearsal, he knew everybody's lines.
He knew the whole... people like that.
And he saved my butt a few times during a play.
Really?
Yeah, because I'll get stuck. And I mean, now we've got it ironed out now that we're open and stuff and running, but he'd be, and I'm like, shit. I'm like, but he's amazing. I love that kid. I told him I'm going to adopt him as a nephew.
So is he like, I don't know how old he is, but 12, 13, whatever he is, kind of going 11, on 40. Is that
11 years old?
Oh my God. Yeah. But he's clearly much more than that. And it is true. Yeah. He walks, you know what? I love those moments too. He'll walk on and then you kind of see him take one more step as though got to step into the light. So he's the actor. He knows exactly what he's doing, but he also watches all of this unfold. And that's why I sort of wonder whether as a young 11-year-old kid, he sort of, I mean, listen, I guess kids aren't kids anymore today, right? I mean, everybody's.
He's 11 going on 25.
Yeah.
In a good way, not an annoying way.
The story that unfolds, because this happened to her years ago.
Yeah.
And over a period of time. Does that story, do you think, I imagine it happens to maybe in different ways, but it still happens today, right? It's not as though you're, because when you look at her, I mean, it was before, was it before video calls?
It was 2012.
Oh, so I can't remember when video kicked in, but. Yeah. But it wasn't done that way. But the trust that builds, and eventually where Dana says, let me give you my, you know, send me direct messages and whatever. I mean, that's the kind of thing that can happen to people. Are you more cautious about that kind of stuff too? Just ever since you've done this show, you're like, maybe I won't give my email out, that kind of thing?
It makes me rethink some choices I've made, but I mean, I'm always very cautious about that. And, but it definitely makes you... You already question things, so I think it makes me question things a little bit more.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's brilliant about the show for me is it's just before intermission that I'm not giving anything away, but just for intermission that things take a turn.
Yeah.
And so when you get into the intermission, you see everybody out in the lobby, or in my case, up in the little snobby room, but you see everybody out there and they're just shaking their heads because everybody has this, I didn't see this coming.
Exactly.
And that's what's just, I think, so amazing about it. And I think that's the importance of us not giving too much away here, other than to, I have a funny feeling people watching us are getting very intrigued by what it is we're talking about. But are there future plans for this? Has Dana talked about, first of all, why Chicago first, except this is the phenomenal place to bring a show?
You know what? I don't know, like, why it was here first. I'd have no idea. But, and as far as it going somewhere else, I don't believe there is something yet, but that it's still open to that.
Well, I'll give you my sense of one reason that it may be here first. I'm sure you know Jerry Mitchell and a lot of folks, and I will tell you, many a producer or people like Jerry who have, you know, created Kinky Boots, and he was just here with Boop the Musical. All of them will tell you, and I do a show called Backstage, so it's sort of an inside the actor's studio kind of a show. And so Jerry has made it very clear that so many people bring their shows here first because Chicago audiences are that smart, that sophisticated, and they want to test it here before they go to New York. In fact, Elton John's, the, you know, Devil Wears Prada show started here. And I think they took a lesson from that, which is it's not ready for Broadway, based on here. And Jerry shared with me, they're going to actually bring it to London first after they retool it in a major way. My question for you is, have you performed on Chicago stages before? What is your reaction to Chicago audiences? Cause you've got them now.
The audiences have been fantastic. And this is only my third play. So I have never been here to perform on stage, but it's a hell of a crowd every day. Doesn't matter if it's a matinee or a nighttime show. It's been great audiences, and it's funny because some audiences, there's different reactions. Not all are the same.
Can you share like how they differ?
Well, like some, like some will be a lot more quiet. Some will laugh. I think some people feel like maybe they shouldn't laugh, but they can. And just certain things that happen, there's that feeling of, God, that's funny, but do I laugh?
It is funny. There are very funny lines in it.
Yeah.
Except
they're very
what
funny.
You're sharing here is we're laughing at a funny line, but it wasn't necessarily, I mean, it may have been something out of an email. I mean, it's a real line.
Right. Exactly.
That happened. So the TV world, is you're so well known for that, and films, and now stage. So since it is only your third play, where are you getting drawn?
I want to still do it all. I'm open to everything, you know. I love television. It's been my, you know, mostly television and some films and commercials and stuff. So it's, I dig it. It's hard work, but.
But I mean, do you like the idea of, you know, go in and take your thing and then, you know, take the car from the studio back back home? Or is it this notion of every night? I mean, like, this is only playing until February 18th. It's not a long run, but are you energized? I mean, every night it's different. So even though you're saying the same lines, right? A very distinct difference from television.
Absolutely. And it's like some things I try to change up, but some things you can't in this. And just, I love it because, I mean, to be 100% present while you're working, and yeah, it's reiterated every day because it is the same lines and stuff, but just, you know, it, I want to do the best I can do every single night for those folks that are sitting in those seats.
Well, I'll tell you, I know, as you know, when you see a play, there's this tendency to kind of, at the end of the show and the curtain call start, the audience kind of sits there and you kind of wait for that star to come out, right? Who gets the moment, Glinda, you know, whatever, whoever it is, or Elphaba, we wait for them to come out. And so here one would argue, well, Dana is going to get the standing ovation, and she does. And I'm sure you notice it, man. I couldn't get on. I sit front row center. So not that you noticed me Monday night, but on opening night, but. We couldn't be on our feet faster when you walked out for that curtain call. And I'm going to guess that happens every single night because you're unbelievable.
Oh, God, thank you. And you know what? I try not to think about that. I just, it's a sign, of course, that I'm doing my job and that people are receiving, in a sense, what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean, Paul?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm having the most amazing time, and I'm getting, even though it's a very serious thing, I'm getting to play with an amazing actress and an amazing young actor every single day. And they are both gifts. And I just thank you for your kind words, because that means everything.
Are you taking in Chicago? Do I need to be taking you around in Chicago for some of the proper Chicago pizza and all that? Are you taking some in?
I've taken in plenty. I've cut back, but
Bumalnati's pizza, I hope, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Garrett's caramel and cheese corn popcorn just down the street.
Yes, yes, yes. They were very gracious and gave us a little tin.
Yeah. And if you eat dinner at Pettorino's, ask for the first booth. You'll see my caricature right up there while you're eating, and it'll be like having dinner with me.
Oh, first booth next to the bar right there?
Well, it's booth 46 right behind the registration thing. There's just so much to do in this city, which I'm sure you know, including a Golden Girls parody, which is playing up at the Broadway Playhouse a few blocks away. But this city is phenomenal. You should move here.
Oh, I'm a California girl, born and bred. That's where I love Cali.
Well, maybe just for the summers or something, you can move.
I'll visit. I have no problem.
Okay.
Everything here has been absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I don't blame you for not enjoying the winters here, but you've been having a decent time this winter, so this is good.
Oh, even the cold was fantastic. I loved it. Really? Like 4 or 5 blocks from the theater one night at 10 o'clock, and I looked at my phone, and it said it was negative 28.
You're happy with that.
Bring it. I would with that, absolutely.
Well, Highway Patrol is playing at the Goodman Theater only till February 18th. And from what I understand, no extension. That's going to be the date, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And also the 18th, I believe, is a matinee.
Ah, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a Sunday. So that's probably the case. Or at least I hope it's a matinee. Check your schedule. I wouldn't want you to miss an evening. So folks can get tickets at goodmantheater.org. Theater spelled the proper British way, T-R-E. Do you ever have that discussion with anybody, the T-E-R versus T-R-E thing?
No.
It matters to me. I don't know why, but I'm really into the T-R-E. It's sort of like here people take intermissions, but in England they take intervals. And so I call it interval.
That, what's funny is I call it halftime.
Okay. Well, that's the sports side of you.
Sports side of me, because it's like, hello, I feel like I'm still learning so much every day about theater.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad you're on stage. You belong on stage. I mean, you do what you want. Go do things. Go do shows. Go do whatever. And by the way, our friend Ms. Billings, is there's a Broadway show being in production right now or being created right now on her life. So maybe we need to call her and get you in that as well.
Oh, she and Chris Ann are the best.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we will both let them know that we've connected outside of the Washington. She's actually in POTUS out in L.A. right now, which you probably know. And that just closed at Steppenwolf here.
Oh, wow.
If you've never seen the show, by the way, it's amazing. It's great. So anyway, but Highway Patrol at the Goodman Theater through February 18th. By the way, happy birthday to your wife, Bridget. I'm very happy about that. And I know you look forward to celebrating that when you get back to California. And thank you for your time. Just a big fan. And I really appreciate you giving me some time today. Thank you.
You're a doll, Paul. Thank you for being so gracious and kind. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope to see you again before you leave. Thank you.